This morning I want to speak about one of the tremendous blessings that come from knowing God. One of the tremendous blessings. The greatest blessing that you can have from knowing God is that we have the greatest miracle is to be born again. It's to become a new creation. The phenomena that many people don't understand that happens when someone becomes a Christian is they don't just go from kind of not going to the church on Sunday and now they go to church on Sunday and now they're trying to adopt to a particular moral code to be a better person. Lots of people think that's what church is. It's just adopting your moral code. But the reality is that becoming a Christian and connecting with Jesus is actually a transformation where a person spiritually becomes born again, a brand new person, not the same person trying to be a better person, a same body. Come on, we get a new body when we go to heaven, which is awesome news, all right? But not, same body, mostly same personality. Your soul doesn't change, but spiritually you become alive. And now you've got Jesus' nature on the inside of you and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so you are different. You're not trying to be different. You're just a new creation, and it's magnificent. And that's the greatest miracle that could ever happen on planet Earth, is for someone to come into a relationship with God and become a new creation. And that's what we'll be praying at the end of the service. If you've never done that, today will be a game changer for you. Today will be, I can't emphasize enough how awesome it is when God lives in you and everything changes. His peace fills you. His joy fills you. There comes a person in your life and a purpose in your life. Instead of going around in circles looking for the next fun thing, suddenly the God who created the world lives on the inside of you and things, your life has now got purpose and it's magnificent to live with purpose. So anyway, I'm a little excited about that. That's not what I'm preaching about, but it is the greatest miracle. But I do want to speak about the gift, the grace of healing that God has for His people. I want to help us understand today, if you're new to the Christian faith, I want you to understand exactly what the Bible says about physical healing for your body. There's emotional healing for your soul, healing for your heart. That's part of knowing Jesus. But I want to talk about physical healing. There's three reasons that I believe God heals people. There's many, but I want to talk about three. The first, and we'll just go to, get a few scriptures out there. We are going to pray for people at the end of the service. Melbourne, we're going to pray there together for healing and believe God here in this service. We're going to believe God. But here's some things we need to know. Here's the first mention of God the healer in the Bible. It's in Exodus 15, verse 26. It says this, and he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what's right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is the first mention of God's got names. He's you know, if you think of it like this, he's Jehovah, and then something that is an indicator of his identity, of his nature. And so he calls himself Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who provides, okay? He's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. He's the God who looks after your financial needs. In this verse, the Hebrew word is Rapha. Not Rapha Nadal, not related at all. But Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals. And so it's in God's very nature. He doesn't have to try to become a healer. By his very nature and who he is a healer. When you get close to God, you get close to the healer. In Psalm 103, verse 2, David says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's what gets you right with Jesus. He forgives our iniquities. And he heals all your diseases. Everybody say, all your diseases. How many of them? Okay, that's the nature of God. He is strong, Melbourne. Well done. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's why Pastor Teresa at 60 looks like she's 40. Her youth has been renewed like the eagles. That's why Dan Frecker at 30 looks like he's 28. We love you, Dan. It's like there's a certain age you want to look older, and then there's an age where you want to look younger. I'm not sure exactly when it is, when it kicks over, but somewhere, you know, because you'd ask a teenager who's 12 how old you are, and they say, well, oh, next year I'm turning 14. You know, it's like, it's 13 in a month. But then you ask a 53-year-old, how are you? And they're like, well, very young 50s right now. Just anything I can get back. So anyway, that's he redeems your life from the pit. He renews your youth like the eagles. Come on, this is who God is. Bless the Lord, all my soul. When Jesus turned up as God in the flesh, the Bible tells us that he's the visible image of an invisible God. We can't see God who's in the heavens, but we could see Jesus. Human beings saw Jesus, and then eyewitnesses have written and recorded about Jesus. So he is, what Jesus was is a representation of who God is. And so this is what Jesus did. Acts 10:38. You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So when you read the Bible, when you read about Jesus, you cannot help but sort of notice that time and time again, he did a number of things. He mentored his disciples up close. He preached to crowds about the way of following God and how it was different to what they thought. This is the way where, if Jesus is king, the way to live in that kingdom, about being kind, about being merciful, about praying for your enemies, about going the extra mile, all sorts of different things. Jesus said, this is the mark of my disciples. So he taught, but then he went around and he healed people all the time, and he cast demons out of people. This was what Jesus did, people who were oppressed, and it was the mark of Jesus. And too many people, and I think Thomas Jefferson, the president of America, was one, he basically got the Bible and he got a Stanley knife out and he went through every verse in the Bible that had a supernatural edge to it, and he literally cut those bits out of his Bible, and then he wrote the morals and teachings of Jesus, the Bible. And you're like, how could you do that? Well, lots of people actually do that. They go and say, oh no, that Jesus was supernatural, but he stopped being supernatural when he died. But my Bible tells me Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's a supernatural God, and those things that he was doing then, mentoring leaders and disciples and preaching the way to live when you're a follower of Jesus and casting out demons and healing the sick, those things that Jesus once did, he's still doing, but now he's doing them through his body. He's the head, the Bible tells us. Now he's doing them through his body, which is the? That's not a trick question. It's the church. We're the body of Christ. We're the ones who now, what Jesus did, it's a pattern for the church to follow, to move in the power of God and to see healing. It's the nature of God. That's why, you know, I've got lists of people that we've seen healed in our church. You name it, I reckon we've seen people healed from something, if not that, very similar. Lee, who's been sitting in our Melbourne location today, wife of Sid, when we first opened our Melbourne location at the Karalaika Centre in the very early days of our church, five years ago. And one day God just said, I want to heal people of blood diseases. So the people responded and came out the front. Lee was one. She had a cancer in her blood, a condition that would steadily decline and was incurable by medical standards. And when we prayed for her, the power of God flowed into her body and she got healed from a cancer in her blood that couldn't be healed through medical benefit, medical ways, and she's given glory to God. She's got the after, it's not in her blood anymore. She's got the before and the after things for the glory of God. That's the nature of God. So the first reason I believe God heals is it's his nature. That's just who he is. You get close, if you know who he is, you can experience who he is. If you don't know who he is, oftentimes you don't have a faith or expectation of what he's going to do. If I've told my kids all my life that I'm broken, I can't buy gifts for them, or they've been told that, they're just not going to ask me for gifts. But that's not what they've been told. They think I'm loaded. They think I'm an ATM. They think I'm a walking sponsor. Yeah, we hear about compassion. My children are my first compassion children. They love that. Love sponsoring them. They're amazing. Got one in the room. No, got two in the room right now. Yeah. There they are. It's his nature. Okay, well, what else? Healing's a sign of God's love. It's a sign. Okay, it's a signal. We've got, you know, in case of emergencies here and in Melbourne, we've got little signs, little green signs. If there was a fire, we would run towards the sign, but we wouldn't run through the sign. The sign's an indication that there's a door nearby. All right, just as a suggestion if you are unaware about that, all right? The sign's an indication of something. And for when Jesus went around healing the sick and casting out demons, it was a sign of God's love for people. It was a sign that God cares about people. It was a sign that God's powerful and can do miracles and can turn your life. I mean, the greatest miracle, as I said, is being born again, but it's a sign that he can make you born again and make you different. It's the nature of Jesus. I was just having a look. I keep lists of testimonies and lots of testimonies. I read one from a while ago from an Instagram message from Richard Green, a pastor in Ryde. And it's a photo of a lady, and they said, this is Mauve, her name is. M-A-E-V-E. Mauve, Mauve. Maeve? Maeve. Maeve. Her first time at C3, Mauve would be a colour. Yeah. Maeve. This is Maeve. God bless you, Maeve, if you're watching. This is Maeve. Her first time she came to church a month ago, John Pierce prayed for her. She had suffered long-term migraines. She was instantly healed. Her husband is so surprised. Maeve said, I can't even remember what having a migraine was like anymore. That night, she also received Christ and hasn't stopped sharing her story. Why? What was it that got Maeve over the line to follow Jesus? The goodness of God. The sign of God's love. Healing's a sign that God loves people. It's a sign, and the Bible calls them signs and wonders. It's a sign that makes people wonder. I wonder why that happened. I wonder if there could be more. I wonder if there's something out there greater than I've ever experienced. Healing is a sign and wonder. I got this message from a pastor on the Gold Coast. He said, sorry to bother you on your day off. That was very kind of him. I hope this encourages you. On Wednesday night, we had an atheist there. Not just someone who's a bit interested, an atheist. He's been intrigued about Jesus, but not a believer. So I prayed for people on that night. He didn't come up, but the next day he sent this text to his friend. Hey, man. I want to, it's cool. Hey man, hey dude, I want to have a chat. I had a finger that was broken, and after last Wednesday's sermon, it's not. I want to talk to someone. Can you help? You know what's going on there? He's wondering. There's been a sign, and he's wondering. What is that? That's the love and kindness of Jesus, who wants to bring healing into people's lives. Now, not just the church on a Sunday. Of course, at church on a Sunday, but also just through you taking random moments to pray for somebody. I loved hearing this morning, we've got Baptisms Melbourne on the sunny coast, and Amy was just talking about a friend who, when her family was going through a crisis, just over the phone said, can I pray for you? And she felt the peace of God, the love of God. So it's amazing to me how easy it is for the love of God to flow into a person's life. And how that seed makes people wonder about the goodness of God. Healing, it's God's nature, but it's also his sign that he loves us. I love that. The third thing is, how are we doing this morning? Healing is part of the provision of the cross. All right. So just in case some of you are Christians going, maybe I should become an atheist so God will heal me. That's wrong thinking, wrong theology. Okay, because healing's actually part of what Jesus died on the cross for. When Jesus came, he didn't just die for your sins and for my sins. He didn't just die so that his blood could wash away our sin. That was a major thing that Jesus died for. That's why we get baptized, not because we're perfect, but because Jesus took our sin on himself and he gave us his righteousness so that we actually, before God, we are now perfect. Okay, now we might experientially need to change, but before God, you're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You're a saint. Now, you were once a sinner, and some of you sin more than others. Some of us sin more than others. okay, in terms of experientially, but our legal standing before God is that we're holy, we're righteous. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, get this, and he goes, to the saints in Corinth. He doesn't say to the sinners saved by grace in Corinth. He addresses them by their new standing in God. You guys are saints. Yeah. Come on, turn to your neighbor right now and go, you're a saint. Turn to your other neighbor and just prophesy over them as well. You are a saint. How did you become a saint? You're not a saint because you don't do bad stuff. You become a saint when you acknowledge that you are a sinner and put your faith in Jesus. And then he makes you right with God and you become a saint. And going forward, doesn't matter if you walk out of church after giving your life to Jesus, stub your toe and say a bad word, that doesn't unsaint you. You're not desainted. There's no desaintilizing plant in heaven. In, out, in, out, in, out. Come on, how many times would some of you get in and out all day? And I'm just talking about me right now. That's not how it works. Once you're saved and you put your faith in Jesus and you look towards Jesus, you're a saint. Oh, that's just great news. Anyway, sorry, I'm detouring. So it's a provision in the cross. 1 Peter 2 verse 24, which is a fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah 53. It says this about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the cross. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. A whole other message. I'm avoiding going there right now. By whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. I love this. It's not by whose stripes you will be healed. It's not by whose stripes you could be healed. It's by whose stripes you were healed. This tells us that when Jesus was in the praetorium and they stripped him and they took his robe off and they got whips out with bones in the whips, in the leather cord, and they ripped his back and his flesh and his body apart, the Bible is saying that the reason he did that was by those stripes, by that mutilation of Jesus' body. He did that deliberately for one reason and one reason only, and that's that every sin and every sickness and suffering that afflicts our bodies was placed on his body in that moment so that we could have an exchange of our sickness for his pain, by whose stripes you were healed. So it's not... A woman came up to Jesus asking him for healing. There's about 26 specific healing miracles recorded in the Gospels. So there's numbers of times it says, and Jesus went there and he healed everybody. But we get an insight into 26 individuals who are healed when we read the four different Gospels. Some of them are mentioned them in each one, a sort of eyewitness event of the Apostle John or Matthew, or they're recorded in Mark and Luke, and so you hear these different stories. But one of them, a woman went up to Jesus who wasn't a Jew and wasn't part of Jesus' kind of people group that he was reaching at that stage, and she wanted her daughter to be set free from a demon. And Jesus made this statement, should I give the children's bread to a little dog under the table? It's a little harsh. It's anyway, another point. That's how faith accesses miracles. And her faith pushed past nothing happening. But the phrase I want you to get is, he said, the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. When you become a child of God through the cross, and you're right with God, you now have access to the bread of healing in your life as a child. It's the provision that Christ made for you and I. That's why the Bible says he's a good father, and if you ask for bread, he won't give you a snake. If you ask God for healing, he's not going to give you sickness. He's going to give you healing. It's the nature of God. We're doing okay here this morning. Three reasons. I just want us to understand. Now, part of the reason that I'm talking about this is I want us to have a clear Bible understanding of the nature of God in terms of his nature as a healer, the power of signs and wonders, and then the provision of healing for every person who's a son or daughter of Christ. It's all ours potentially. And of course, you're not going to go after it if you don't think it's yours. No one's going to pray for something to happen in their life that they don't think's the will of God. So we have to get a conviction on the inside that healing is the will of God. That's who he is. It's his nature. It's why we sing about him. Part of the reason I'm sharing this today, one is because I believe healing is going to happen today. But two, as I have this feeling, and we listened to Pastor Trent here, and hopefully we did in Melbourne as well, about our Powerhouse conference coming up at the end of July. I have a feeling that the level of miraculous that we're going to experience in that conference will be like nothing we've ever seen before in our church. I have a prompting by the Holy Ghost that because there are levels of anointing. And there are levels of breakthrough. And so as we fast for 10 days, can I recommend we do a Daniel fast at least or more as a church? Starting on Monday, not tomorrow, not next week. Next week. Woo, baby, okay. In 8 days' time, we're starting a 10-day fast. For some of you, that's like the go button, either to wean off or to load up. I know, I'm more of a load-up kind of guy. Who's a load-up person? For Dan Frecker, you're a load-up guy, I know that. KFC, here we go. No, who's a wean-off to reduce the withdrawals? Oh, it's the wise ones amongst us. God bless you for your discipline and your wisdom. I love that. Magnificent. I reckon Ebony would be but once you have a baby, you're free from fasting. That's good news, Eb. Away you go. So we're going to begin to fast as a church. And part of what we're fasting for is an increase in the miraculous in every time we gather in our services, but particularly a breakthrough at Powerhouse Conference at the end of July. I want to encourage you, if you're not yet registered for Powerhouse Conference, Melbourne, Sunshine Coast, that something happens when we gather together. It's like faith builds up, and then the fasting builds up. And then when we come together with an expectation, we bring in people who carry a gift of faith and the miraculous and healing, and something gets in the mix, and there's preaching and you know, you feel, you kind of, after a Sunday morning, you might be like, oh, my faith level's about a 30%. But you get in an atmosphere where God is doing miracles and things are happening and people are getting healed. And suddenly, that person's breakthrough sparks faith for your breakthrough. And suddenly, continuous worship, because we'll worship longer. We spend more times in the presence of God. It's just a principle that more breakthroughs happen in those moments than any other time. So I want you to have a breakthrough. I want you to, now that breakthrough might be just in hearing God, because it feels like the noises overwhelmed your ability to hear God speak to you. Fasting will sharpen your ability to hear God. Fasting will tune you in. But maybe this conference is going to be a breakthrough and you'll see visions like you've never seen before. Maybe this is a conference where you've like been putting up with something for 15 years, and maybe you've been out on 155 altar calls for healing. But it can break in a moment, particularly when the atmosphere changes. One of my favorite stories about this, I've shared it before, a guy by the name of Randy Clark, who's a leading healing guy in the world, he talks about the power of perseverance. And so if I was to go, healing is potentially ours because of the nature of God, the kindness of God, the signs and wonders of God, and the provision of the cross, but it becomes practically ours through a range of different doors where we access it. And we access here, and I'll probably talk about this at the conference, but I'm not committing to that. But I do love, Randy Clark talked about this. He prayed for people to get healed of blindness for, I think it was 25 years, and no one got healed. Then they had a breakthrough, and in the span of 9 days, they had about 20-something people healed of blindness from birth. Nothing, 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 nothing. Then boom, a breakthrough, and something happened. I want to prophesy, C3 Powerhouse, over our church, at our Powerhouse Conference, there will be a breakthrough in the new levels of the miraculous and the power of God. Together, as we fast, we seek God, we will break through into a new level. I love it. So you've got to be there. Something's going to shift. Here it is. 25 years. Then, oh my gosh, in 9 days, 87 people who had been blind and legally blind. How's that for amazing? Come on, Jesus. Come on, Tear off the roof. Blow the place apart. Let's see the miraculous power of God. So we're going to pray right now. There's all sorts of ways that we access healing. Perseverance is one. The name of Jesus is another. Faith accesses the power of God. Faith moves the hand of God. Worship creates an atmosphere where the power of God comes and flows. I want to pray for people in both locations right now before I hand back to Dan Frecker in Melbourne. But this is a specific word of knowledge I felt the Lord's given me for people who suffer migraines. I think probably one of the things I've seen healed almost more than anything else is migraines. Like people who suffer regular debilitating migraines. And in the kindness and the goodness of God, His power comes and breaks that off people. And so if that's you today, just in your seat in Melbourne or here on the Sunshine Coast, if you're watching online, I want you to stand up as well. I just want you to stand up right now. If that's you, you need the healing power of God to touch you. And we're going to believe for God to touch you as you stand there in your seat. The healing power of God. Holy Spirit, if you're standing online, believing for His healing power, stopping debilitating migraines. Father, we look to You right now as our healer. Release Your power. I stand against every evil spirit that causes this affliction in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go right now. Go. Get off them. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, release your healing power. Break the curse. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Handing back to you, Pastor Dan Frecker in Melbourne. God bless you, Melbs. We love you guys. Have a great rest of the day.